This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Louis Belcourt.
Sarah has been running her market garden called Wildflower Produce out of Reef Point Farm on Cortez for the past few years, but she says it's been a difficult time. An unpredictably cold spring this year after the heat wave in 2021 has been stressful for small-scale and large-scale farmers alike in BC. Sarah mentioned in my interview that during last year's heat wave, the cherries literally cooked on the tree, and this year, they are a month behind. I spoke with Sarah for more info on her market garden and the struggles of trying to provide for her local community during extreme weather.
Why don't you tell us about yourself and your history with farming and growing food?
Sure. So I've been growing food for a long time, a couple of decades as an adult. And then I switched to commercial farming about 7 years ago, where I started working on a farm as a farmhand and then graduated to manager, and then I manage farms for a couple of years. And I've been on Cortez, this is my third season, so just over 2 years. And I have my own business that consists of a market garden, an orchard, and some livestock production. I have sheep and laying hens.
Tell us about the land you're farming right now and maybe some of the products you have for sale.
Sure. I lease land at Reef Point Farm. And so it's a high bank heritage farm. I'm quite fortunate that I found land on an established farm because it means that there was good soil here. I had very sandy soil, so being in production for a long time meant that there were some nutrient deficiencies, but also that there were other positives like high organic material. And being sandy is a little bit tricky to grow in, but it's been a pretty successful and pretty productive the past couple of years. So right now, I still have a lot of spring vegetables because the season was so wet and cold and overly long shoulder season. So I have a lot of baby greens, which are my main crop, lettuces, green onions, salad turnips, things like that, with the summer fruits that normally I'm harvesting full on by now are just starting to come in. So I just did my first carrots, my first beets, and zucchinis should be ready in the next couple of days here, hopefully.
I'm curious what your short-term plans for the upcoming market season are and maybe your long-term goals for the farm in general.
So for this season, the main focus is usually the market garden. That's how I bring in the bulk of my revenue. And I wanted to focus a lot more on fruit production this year because there's an established orchard with about 450 fruit trees. And I was really going to look at more value-added products for the fruit trees. And the market garden is a lot of labor. It has a lot of output, but it's also a lot of input. And having an established orchard is quite fortunate that I can tap into the trees that are already there. And there is maintenance to them in the wintertime. There's pruning and obviously picking and harvesting. But then this year, there's very little fruit. There's, I would say, less than 10% of the fruit I've seen in the past couple of years I've been here. And it was just a result of the rainy, cold spring we had. I don't think a lot of the fruit got pollinated, and we also had a couple of frosts while they were flowering. And so there's going to be not a lot of fruit this year, and so it'll be a larger focus on the market garden. My long-term goals for the property, I don't own land here, I lease land, but I'm still interested in making it a functional, productive farm that can continue into the future. So I'm interested in really interplanting the orchard. If you look at nature, there's rarely just trees and then grass growing beneath it. Nature has a lot of different layers, and you can see that growing in the orchard right now. Like, there's shrubs like blackberries and scotch broom that I want to replace with more productive and profitable plants. So things like gooseberries or expanding the blueberry production. And so my goal for the property is to really increase diversity and make systems that are self-sustaining. So instead of using our irrigation system, I would really love to establish ponds uphill from the orchard so that there's a lot of passive watering, so that in a couple hundred years, I'm hoping that this would still be a productive area with its own self-fertilization and self-watering system, even if there's not the same level of care being given.
What challenges have you faced trying to grow and sell food locally on Reef Point Farm in the past few years?
So I would say that my biggest challenges to start with, were balancing the soil and getting a little bit healthier nutrition in the soil. It was tilled for a very long time, and I don't till at all. I only use hand tools that can be operated by a person. So like a rake is usually the most disturbance my soil gets. So some of the challenges have been increasing the nitrogen in the soil and increasing the organic material and just the life in the soil. So having more bacteria and fungus that are living in a healthy habitat down there, and also reducing the pests. Because there was unutilized fruit for a long time, there were a lot of decomposers living in the orchard. So the market garden exists within the orchard. And my biggest problems were wood bugs and ravens. Ravens have been by far my biggest pests, but luckily they're also the smartest. And so after just a year or two of using non-lethal techniques, I've really been able to reduce the damage that they've been inflicting. And just getting established on the island. It's a small community, and so just getting people to know that I'm here and that I'm a major food producer and that there's another option on the island.
What environmental challenges have you seen over the past years, and how has that affected your growing?
So this time last year, the cherries were finishing prematurely. We had a really great cherry season. There were still quite a few left on the trees. And then the heat wave of last year hit and the cherries literally cooked on the trees. What I was seeing were brown spots developed on the cherries on the tree, but I would eat them and they still tasted okay. And they were firm. And I would pick them and put them in my cooler. And then within an hour, they turned to mush. And so when I looked it up, other farmers in the lower mainland that farm cherries were saying that they need a maximum temperature at night that wasn't being reached. So it wasn't cooling off enough at night. And so the cherries literally cooked on the trees last year. And it's such a contrast to this year. So last June 15th, I started picking cherries. And then this year, they're at least a month away from being ripe. And I don't actually know if they're going to ripen. Because we've had such a wet season, there's a really bad fungal infection on the trees and the leaves just look terrible. They're really badly infected and are falling off prematurely. So the cherries aren't even quite ripe yet, and I don't know if they will ripen because it's been such a contrast to last year.
And did the high precipitation this 2022 spring affect your growing at all?
It's not so much the precipitation for me because my soil is sandy and I have really excellent drainage, but it's been the cooler temperatures and the overcast skies. So it's been a lot more rain, but even on the days it didn't rain, it's been overcast. And so it's like everything's planted in full shade. So it's just been very slow growth. I put things in the soil and they'll just sit there for weeks, not growing, not really producing anything yet. But they're also then susceptible to pests like slugs and wood bugs because they're just sitting there. You normally have to baby plants for a little bit once they go in the soil, and then they're able to grow up and outcompete other weeds and pests. But then this year, since they're not growing as prolifically, it's a lot more labor of having to weed and do pest control for a longer period of time. So it's actually ended up being more work with less yields. And so my harvests are at about a third of what they were compared to last June.
Do you speak with other local or non-local farmers? And what are they saying in terms of these extreme climate events and how they're affecting their businesses?
I've talked to a few others. I have some friends on the Sunshine Coast that farm, and they're pretty much saying the same thing, that it's just very slow. I talked to my one friend in Powell River, and he said his farm looked great. There's just no weeds. It's the best it's ever looked in June because they have so much more free time to do things like weeding and cultivating, and because they're not harvesting as much. So it's just been quite slow. And the inflation as well has affected a lot of farms this year. It's been challenging to try and balance the higher cost for farmers. Like all of my supplies went up and the quality of them also went down for a lot of them. And then unfortunately we have to pass it on to the consumer in the same way. Like my one friend, all of his bunches and things like that, he did about 15% smaller to try and compensate. And so it's an unfortunate cycle where we're having higher costs and then that's getting passed on to people, and it's outpricing produce so that it's not attainable or accessible for everybody.
What does it mean to you to try and grow food locally and sustainably? Is that part of lifestyle that you'd like to see more of?
I think that local food production is the way that we can move forward and create new food systems. So right now we're very dependent on large agriculture, but I think the more people growing food locally, so people and families growing food at home and then supplementing their needs with small scale production, because it's very hard to grow all your own produce for an entire year. And it takes a lot of time and energy and inputs. And so some people do, and then a lot of people can't. But the more that we have people producing their own food and then choosing local products, I think is the way that we can help break the dependency on large scale agriculture and then create more of a local economy that supports local farmers.
You've had quite a few challenges growing in the past few years. Have you discovered any unique solutions in trying to fight the good fight and continue to grow food locally?
One of the reasons I like farming is because it's always different, and that the challenges are opportunities to do things creatively. I really like doing things different all the time. So for example, I did something new yesterday in a garden bed. And so I tried it four different ways to figure. I tried it with a knife and with this knife and then with my hands, just to try and figure out the most efficient way of doing things. I'm not a very creative or artistic person. I don't draw or paint or have an outlet that way, but I find the problem solving and farming to be a very creative process. It's a very unusual industry in that we're completely at the whim of things that are out of our control. Other retail products, you purchase inventory and then you mark it up and sell it. But in farming, we purchase supplies and then we have things like the wildlife and the climate and consumer demands that are all things that we can't really control, or we just have to adapt to and accept. And so just trying to figure out creative solutions to all those problems has been really an interesting experience over the past couple of years.
Is there anything from the local government or the federal government even that you'd like to see done to support farmers in trying times?
I think more grants would be really helpful for small scale farmers. Large agriculture can get subsidies during challenging years, but there's nothing like that for small scale farmers. I was fortunate to receive a grant that was a response to COVID, and it was open only to small scale farmers that grow less than 60,000 in a year, which is quite a very small farm grossing less than 60,000. And so that's been really great. That was from the Ministry of Agriculture, and it allowed me to purchase two greenhouses and to build a walk-in cooler. So more grants like that and more funding and like low interest loans and things like that for small scale farmers would go a long way in helping us.
Is there anything a local can do to support local farmers and sustainable food growth?
I think choosing local food, it's hard for some people because it does come with a higher price tag. You know, like non-local carrots and mass produced carrots are going to be cheaper than locally produced ones. Or even if they come from off island, the smaller scale organic agriculture, because it's mostly done with hand tools and it has a lot of other additional costs that are just very different to large agriculture. And so I think local people choosing local food and understanding that the higher price point can be a small increase in their life, but cumulatively it really adds up for a farmer. And then especially with this season, because the spring was so cold, right now we're about a month behind. So I'm harvesting carrots for the first time, and I harvest at the end of May. Last year and the year before. And so I'm anticipating the main harvest season to be later, around September, when there's less tourists on the island. So having local support throughout the season and into the fall, when we're going to have an abundance of food but not the same population on the island, I think is going to be really important, especially this year.
Where can people purchase your delicious local goods?
I have a farm stand at Reef Point Farm that's open every day, as well as the farmer's market every Friday with some other local producers and a lot of really great vendors. I also sell to the co-op and to the Hollyhock restaurant. And later in the summer, I'll be selling at the Gorge store as well.
And where is your farm stand located, just for those who don't know?
It's at the very end of Settle Point Road. So if you follow Settle Point all the way to the south end, 297 Settle Point Road.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah, and thank you for your work.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Louis Bocor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.